love is a lie. And so we begin foolishly laying our hearts on a table, stumbling in. Hence my intro for this week's Drunken Comic Book Reviews. I've had a few beers. Got my last week's of Wednesday's comics sitting in front of me. Feeling pretty good. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to flip through the 10 comics exactly that I bought last Wednesday. I'm going to, and then I put them in order of which I felt was a top 10, I guess. And I guess number 10 would be Green Lantern Corps number 52. Which, for me, by the way, I want to mention that my podcast reviews of comics are completely biased on my experiences with comic books over the last 25 years or so. So anyways, Green Lantern Corps number 52. Revolt of the Alpha Lanterns. Conclusion. Which surprisingly shocked me because of, Budokai. Her turnaround. It's kind of, I don't know, felt like it was out of left field. At the same time, I was excited because Hank Henshaw, a.k.a. Cyborg Superman, was whooping some ass. At least trying to. But then again, you know, as it goes, this is a ensemble piece, and it read good. Actually, all my books this week read good. I had a really hard time putting a top 10 together. And if Green Lantern Corps is number 10, and that makes it the worst of the worst, then that's a pretty good fucking deal, in my opinion. Anyhow, so... Yes, Hank Henshaw. Tried to get his ass kicked. And succeeds again. Even on the mental plane. Because as the story progresses, they obviously go there. And she tears him a new one. Which is cool. I dig it anyways. And I'm really digging Ganthet's new role as a Green Lantern. He's kind of like the ambassador for the Guardians. And I'm not shocked to see the Alpha Lanterns pulled back into the core. At all. I mean, nobody... I mean, they made all these guys who were, most of them were the last survivors of the first core, you know, before Kyle took over. And, I guess not most of them, but at least one of them. Fuck. Anyways, I had to pause, because, I don't like Dead Space. And, I didn't know what else to say about the issue. It was pretty good. I enjoyed Cyborg Superman, you know, obviously gets his ass handed to him, and it was good. So, my number 9 would be Justice League Generation Lost, which is a book I completely skipped out on when it first started, because I thought all the important shit was going to happen in Brightest Day. Now, obviously, I was misinformed, because from what I'm seeing, it's 1 week Brightest Day, next week Justice League, Brightest Day, Justice League, Brightest Day, Justice League, and this issue, man, fucking blew my mind a lot. Because they touch on Kingdom Come, and for me, I don't know, I read a couple articles within this week that were pretty much dissing Kingdom Come and how they didn't reap the potential of the main series, and I'm prone to disagree. I mean, if anybody remembers or collects GSA a little while back, you know, they touched on it. The Superman from Kingdom Come was on the JSA team. I mean, I only bought it because of the Shazam stuff. But I digress. As this issue goes on of Generation Lost, it's kind of a precursor of maybe Maxwell Lord was the one who set up Kingdom Come. You know, like, I don't know. I keep reading it, and I'm not too partial to these characters. A lot of them are from late 80s, early 90s for me. I guess the JLI, JLA Europe, not JLA Europe, JLE, the Justice League Europe. I had a buddy who used to buy a lot of those. Dr. Fate, Question, stuff like that. Read a lot of those, and I feel the homage. I'll say that. I feel the homage. And I cannot be the only guy who feels like when this is over, these guys are gonna get a book. They're gonna, like, nullify whatever. Like, I mean, Blue Beetle had a good book going, man, but everybody knew it wasn't gonna last because not enough people were buying it. And it was good, you know? Like, he's a bit of a DC Spider-Man, in my opinion. You know, Captain Atom, you know, he's here, he's there, he's a bad guy, he's a good guy, blah, blah, blah. Booster Gold, man, apparently he's got a really good series going. But as far as Fire and Ice, I mean, I don't know, there seems to be a little bit of a, I don't know, if that's a best friend thing or a lesbian thing. But like I said, I'm getting sidetracked, I don't know. My favorite out of all of them is the new Red Rocket. That guy kills me. He's funny. So, still drunk. Still flipping through this comic book. Highlight of this issue was Dick, of all people. Dick Richard. God, I know guys named Richard. I asked them if I could call him Dick, and they get mad. Fuck them. Call him Dick anyways. So anyways, yeah, he's all like, you know, they're looking at that footage of Wonder Woman snapping Max Lord's neck, you know, which, you know, in my opinion, makes Wonder Woman the most kick-ass of everybody. If there was a Royal Rumble out of the Justice League, I mean, the Pure Seven, Wonder Woman would win. Fuck Batman. Wonder Woman would kill everybody. She is a warrior. Anyways, I think the proper term is I digress. So, I like how they're talking about, you know, they're looking at the video of Wonder Woman snapping the neck, and what do you see, Alfred? And he's like, oh, I see numerous listings for a person named Max Lord. You know, but really it's somebody breaking necks. And then just, you know, kind of like they're going on, and it's like a drunken rant, and they just kind of like, stop. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, by the way, I gotta go, I gotta do this, I gotta call Superman. You know, they completely forgot. That just shows you the power that Maxwell Lord has. And I like me some bad guys. Bad guys rule, man. Like, I mean, you can't have a really good story without a really good bad guy. And Maxwell Lord, he's shaping up to be a really good bad guy. So anyways, as the story progresses, you know, they're trying to crack the case. They find a bunch of shit that is not good. And turns out the Metal Men are protecting it. And for me, that's pretty cool. Because when I was reading Metal Men as a young lad, I was also reading The Inferior Five. Which I would like to mention, the last time I seen was in Final Crisis. And it blew my mind. I don't know. I could go on a tangent about that, man. Grant Morrison. I'm sad he writes Batman. I'm glad I said thank you for killing Batman. But after the last couple days on Twitter, I don't know if I'm so happy about that anymore, because I have my own opinions about Batman. So, as we move along, my issue number 8 is The Flash, number 5, which is amazingly popular. I don't know why. This does absolutely nothing for me. I don't know why. The only thing that I do dig is Digger. Because I was liking the kid thing. I never did actually find out who the mother was, but then, through with the Blackest Night, and they threw him in the pit, and Black Knight, Black Lantern fucking digger ate him. Now he comes back and he can form his own boomerangs, and he just chucks them like a madman, and apparently he just teleports all over the place wherever the White Lantern wants him. This is the thing that blows me away with Brightest Day. I don't understand what everybody's roles are. Like, I just don't. Like, is it the Firestorm thing revealed? Like how. Let me start. In the last Brightest Day of last week, number 10, they declared that Firestorm was the beginning of all time. He was the Big Bang. He was the walking Big Bang, pretty much. He was what, oh, damn it, I can't remember his name. I'm so hammered. No, what the hell? Nero? Neuron? No, that ain't it then, with some demon dudes. Oh. Anyways, this is what I'm thinking. If Firestorm is a walking Big Bang, then everybody else who was resurrected as a White Lantern is some kind of primal elemental force. Not just wind, fire, and air. I'm talking these guys are the Infinity Gauntlet. They are the gems, the Infinity Gems of the DC Universe. This is what I am thinking, just from the revelation of Firestorm in the last issue. And I have sidetracked again from the Flash. See, that just doesn't do for me, this book, man. I don't know. I mean, the art's pretty. Digger throws lots of boomerangs. The glass breaks. Very impressive. I didn't think it would break. This whole time travel shit with the Flash is, I don't know, man. I don't know why it doesn't do it for me. I mean, if that was Wally in that seat, I probably feel differently. I think I would. But, I don't know. Barry might have been a conniver. Only if you've read Identity Crisis would you think that Barry is a conniver. But Wally's a true spirit, man. That's all there is to it. Alright, 12 minutes, we've only got 7 books done. 7 books done. Number 7. See, 10, 9, 8. No, sorry, we're on number 7. Which I'm just going to say a quick word about. My number 7 pick was Thor number 615. AKA the beginning of a new era. It was good. I've seen references online about it being science versus magic, or the theoretical equivalent of it, which intrigues me on many levels. I don't know, man. I like it. The cover's awesome. Fairy did not do too well on the interior, so I've seen better. That's all. That's all I have to say. I've seen him do better, and I really thought with the weight that I had, I thought they had the time to, I don't know, maybe they're slamming out one big ass storyline to tie everything up, so we can go on a new venture. I don't know. But it doesn't bother me that much. The story's good. Thor, it's progression. He's alive. I'm happy. So my number 6 pick is Secret Avengers number 5, which I find. Which I, no, wait, I don't find. I would like to say Ed Brubaker is the man of intrigue. This book had me glued, man. Every panel. I was like, what? I swear I just read this story in a Dynamite Marvel crossover about the Human Torch and all the LMDs taking on sentient life. And oh my goodness, here's this fucking one running around of Nick Fury, and he thinks he's somebody else all of a sudden. Awesome. Awesome. I want to see where that goes. Very, very stoked for it, actually. Number 5. Ultimate Spider-Man number 14. Now, when this story arc started with the chameleon, I really, really felt like I just read this in Amazing Spider-Man a few months ago. But, you know what? It was better than the story in Ultimate, or than better than the story in Amazing Spider-Man. Period. I mean, I don't know. It's amazing. It's Spider-Man and his amazing friends without Firestar. He just replaced it with the Human Torch. And I dig these kids, man. And if I knew a bunch of teenagers with powers, I would hang out with these kids. If I was Rick Jones running around with the Captain Universe powers, I think. I don't know exactly what he's got. I don't read all the minis. But I would hang out with these dudes. These guys are cool. So, Bendis comic, by the way. Man does no wrong. Apparently he does a lot of wrong, but I like his shit. So let's move on to the next Bendis comic for my top five. At number five, The New Avengers, number five. The thing that intrigued me the most is how it slammed the first four issues together to kind of give us a plan. We know what's going on now. And there's a great big chart in there. Big spread page. And some of the stuff on there is not from Bendis's pen, man. The editors went around and seen what everybody was doing amongst their respective category of characters and added a little bit to it. So I spent a little time, you know, staring at it, and there's a few things I could ramble on about for a long time. I liked it. It's very good. I can't wait till it's over. Next issue should be groovy. So anticipation awaits. That's why you get number five. Number four goes to New Hulk Team. Jeff Parker and Gabriel Hardman. What a book, man. What a book. Just, you know, it's kind of been frustrating a little while lately, you know, with this guy, Red Hulk, being Ross, and yada yada. And everything, you know, kind of just, I don't know, he explains shit, and he, you know, with the absorption of the powers and why he could beat the Hulk and now why he can't, it was actually killing him. He can't absorb energy anymore. You know, he's just a Hulk, which is awesome. He became the thing that he did not want to be. And the other thing that I thought was awesome was how Steve Rogers was like, he's a retired soldier, and retired soldiers never know what to do. I'm here to give him new purpose. And that got me stoked, man. Like, this has potential. This has such uber potential. I want to puke. Actually, no, I don't. I want to drink my beer in celebration of Hulk number 25. Woot. So, my number three pick. Yeah, my number three pick is Avengers Academy number four. Shit's kind of convoluted, man. There's a lot of characters. Way too big cast. Way too early to actually make an opinion of. But I dig it. Like, I'm sticking with it. I want to know. I want to know about guys he hasn't gotten to. I really like what I have found out about characters I have no fucking clue about. Really, really digging metal. I don't know how to say it. Guy with the skull face. The Hawaiian surfer guy. Cool dude. I'm very intrigued by the Lightning Bolt lad. They don't talk about him too much. Who is the traitor, eh? Like, this all relates back to the Avengers number five, you know, because they talk about Academy traitor in the poster. So that's a side thought, random rant. This is why we do drunken reviews, you know, so we can tie shit together for our own revelations. So anyways, let's go for top twos. Actually, even better than top twos, we've got top twos. Alright. So my top two is number two. Fantastic Four number 583. which I dig this book, man. Hickman chased a lot of people away, and he sucked a lot of people in at the same time. And as a, I've been collecting Fantastic Four since Wade and Ringo started. Got that 44-cent issue and just went, huh? And hooked on. Never let go, man. So, I'm not sure exactly how long ago that was, but long enough. And this Hickman's run has been the best run since Wade and Ringo. Rest in peace, man. And I honestly thought, you know, seeing the title of this arc as 3, I'm thinking this is going to be about the cure that the kids' little science class that read through together, the cure for Ben that they pulled together, but apparently not so. Not so at all. And what happens is, Valeria, the youngest daughter of the Richards, has turned into my new favorite character. She is looking at the big picture. She is taking the warnings to heart. Things are coming together. I mean, this stuff's been going on for a while, and I mean, it seems kind of vague, and it seems over left, right here, 1, 2, 3. We got Orion's belt. It's hooked to the Big Dipper all of a sudden, and shit's starting to slam together. And it's awesome. Awesome. Great book. All Hope Lies in Doom, which we've been hearing for months. And this issue confirmed it, with Valeria helping our brain-damaged greatest villain of all time, trying to help him get back on his feet. I don't know if I'm confused, excited, terrified, or full of glee. I love it. This shit is awesome. Number 2 pick. So, let's get to our number 1 pick, which I have been debating all day on Twitter. All day. Like, man, what was that, 8 hours ago? No, I was 7:30 in the morning, and it's midnight now. I don't know how long that is. You do the math if it's really that important to you. Not that important to me. This is my number 1 pick of the week. Because, if Batman was an evil motherfucker, he would rule the world. He could do what he wanted and get away with it. Okay, I've read a few reviews, and most of the reviews talk about the visual fight scene. It's like Shakespearean opus to violence. There's even a splurge in the back where it shows the script that Millar gave to McNiven for the layout, and it says 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, the beats are really important here, so let's keep everything nice and wide and keep this to 4 panels, each one just being a love letter to violence. And each panel is, my friends, and it is so good, and it ends with such a wicked splash. I mean, I don't know, man. When this first issue came out of this series, I was like, there's something wrong with the inks here. It's not, they're not, I don't know, maybe he was too bright and white. But by now, like, I mean, everything is groovy. Maybe it's the blood. The blood thickening the costume because of texture. I'm a sick puppy. What can I say? I love it. It's awesome. Like, if Batman could, fuck, if Batman could tear into 97 armed guards recklessly, not worrying about killing anybody, he would destroy them all. But that's just my opinion, apparently. And as the series goes on, he fucks with the protagonist. Is protagonist Agaday? I don't know. He fucks with a good guy, psychologically. And it's just amazing, man. Like, you can feel it in the art. I think that's what it is. Number 1 pick of the week, due to art. alone, man, because that last page, you can see the good guy. He's mad. He's angry. He's got a shotgun. It doesn't say chick-chack, but it looks like he just chick-chacked that motherfucker. He's gonna kill somebody. And that's it, man. I would like to go on and say that I truly believe Nemesis would kill Batman. Because you know he would. Most guys who beat Batman the first time don't kill Batman. Maybe that's what makes Batman so good. Maybe that's what makes me shake my head. I don't know. But I really no. Awesome week of books, and this is your drunken comic book review. Drunken comic book review for September 24th, 2010. Longest drunken comic book review ever. Peace out.